friends with Christine Marie and Julie.
Good afternoon, Christine Marie here, and this is Julie right there, right? Okay.
I'm saying it's almost evening now.
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah.
And we're life with the girlfriends, and as you like to say, more life.
More life with the girlfriends. I was just going to ask you, Julie, what does it mean to you to be a yay yay girl?
Oh, I think what it means to me to be a yay yay girl, is a girl that can have fun with just a song in her head, with a beating her butt, you know, taking a little tootie.
I think that's you. I think you're a good time girl.
If I release what my worry is, I always can find something to have a good time about.
It's so true. And that's important, aren't we? We're learning that more and more, aren't we?
And I've got a couple of, I want to talk to you about this, but we'll talk about it. Yeah, we are learning about this more and more, about what, releasing girlfriends?
Yeah, to be happy regardless of situations.
Yes.
Well, releasing our joy regardless of the situation.
For sure, because... Oh, in so many ways. I just was reading today's quote in our one little thing that I love. And it says this. So what you're just saying, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking it makes it so.
Oh, 100%, right?
Exactly.
Right?
And so we're working with that idea
all the time we work with that.
That hey, you can choose to be of good cheer during the situation.
Mm-hmm. And since you said my magic word, choose, we are the sum total of all of our choices.
All of our choices, all of our decisions, all of our habits.
Yes.
And that's what we're working on too, aren't we?
Yes.
All the time.
We got it. We're working on it.
We're always working on it. You know,
I've been working on the ring.
I know. In some ways, that's what it feels like sometimes, just laying one more track down. Put one more track down, one more mile of track. We're going to get that train across the country one way or another.
Yes.
You know, when
Peter,
we were...
don't you call me, because I can't go, because you owe your soul to the company store.
Yes.
Know what that feels like?
No.
A little bit.
But, you know, I remember being in my late teens, early 20s, and Doug's daughter came back from college today, you know, and she's going to be graduating from Old Miss this year, beginning of spring or springtime, so she's in her senior year. And you can just, I remember how it feels like to be that age.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a little part-time job, you know, she's graduating from college.
Oh.
And you just, and at that moment, everything just feels so,
the world is your oyster.
Pregnant with expectancy. And I know that doesn't make any sense, but like, life just feels great. And I remember that, and it's like
and there's a little bit of arrogance there too, like
a little bit of arrogance. Like, you guys can't possibly know what I'm going through, or all the stuff I've had to learn. No, you're right. We don't. We have no idea.
This is an amazing child, though, because fourth year, she's a senior, and her major is Chinese.
Yes,
and we've asked her every year to say
anything,
anything in Chinese. Nothing so far.
Nothing.
Nothing. So that is going to be, I think, the biggest coup to have graduated from Old Miss with a major in Chinese and not know one freaking Chinese word.
Yes. I'm hoping that it's gotten better now.
Mm-hmm.
That she just has, it's funny, too, because when she went for her, you know, abroad studies.
Yes.
She went to Ireland.
Of course.
Hello.
Of course you would. If your major is Chinese, you would definitely go to Ireland.
I love that kid. I don't know how she's going to pull it out, but she always pulls it out.
She always comes out standing on her head.
Exactly. Standing on her head. For sure. But I can't remember what I was going to say. That's okay.
I think it was something about the arrogance of the age.
Maybe.
I don't know, like where you just feel like you got everything under control, you're going to be so cool.
Maybe, that could be it. I can't remember anymore, that's okay.
Okay.
But today's show is going to really be about little vignettes about shame. In a variety of different ways.
On this Thanksgiving week, we're going to shame talk.
We're going to shame talk in a big way.
Happy Shamesgiving.
Yes. Aw. what I feel shameful for.
You know, it's like, you know, growing up, you know, I think that my parents, discipline of choice was to shame us.
You know what? It worked. And it worked. Think you picked up a little bit of that. Growing up, the last thing we wanted was to have our mom mad at us or your mom feel like, I'm very disappointed in the kids.
That's right.
Like, oh, we feel so shameful.
Oh, no,
this is horrible.
Since I always say that I'm going to develop a line of fragrances at Christmas.
Yes.
And it's just going to be 3 small bottles in a box, and it'll be desperation,
yes,
disappointment,
yes,
and despair.
Yes.
Depending on whatever you're feeling at the moment.
Exactly. I love those 3. Those are my favorite fragrances.
I think I feel a little bit of, I like to put a little bit of desperation on tonight.
Yeah.
Like just right behind the ears.
Yeah, maybe a little depression. When you said that, my first thought in my head was constipation. Like, I have a fragrance of constipation. I feel really blocked up.
Yes.
All over.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, Julie.
That would be
hysterical. We're giving people such great ideas, Doug.
I know.
They better not.
They better not. There are ideas.
That's
Don't
right.
Don't run with them, please.
Don't run with them, no.
No, so, I mean, we feel shame about so many things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And today I had an incident where, well, I should tell everybody, first of all, mm-hmm, you know, you and I are mother and daughter. I'm the daughter. You're the mother.
Right. I'm the mom.
We're law of attraction. Sort of our law of attraction coaches, but we're much more than that. And we really are about figuring out ways to put and to feel like we have more life in our lives.
Yes. Well, you know,
and
we
away the despair and the disappointment.
Yeah, we're keeping it
joy.
Real, right? We keep it real.
Trying to keep it real.
Real that's how we roll.
That's how we roll. And it was funny because last week we didn't have a show. We had a repeat.
I know. Well, did we have a repeat?
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it was dead air. I don't think.
Okay.
I said, please play a repeat. I could be wrong, though.
Uh-huh. That's awesome.
And he said, what's going on? I said, oh, well, and I will tell the story now.
The story now of why we had a peat and a repeat.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, so my... Excuse me. So my...
It all started on Saturday morning.
Bright and early. You woke me up. You said, Julie, there's a huge holiday shopping special at Schneider's. We must go because I can buy 2 things for $5. We must go first thing or they will be out. I said, I will drag my butt out of bed for you, Mother, because I love
right.
you so much.
You did.
So anyway, drag my butt out of bed. I get up. We go to Schneider's. We buy a little, like a head warmer with a flower on it for $5.
Shut up.
But it was exciting. And I had to have been there because I'm not usually in town at that. We live in the country a little bit. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not usually in town at that time. And then
no.
as I'm driving, you know, out back home, still in town, I get a phone call from Doug's sister. And she's frantic in a weird way, not just coming clean. And I'm like, hi, how you doing, Beth? And she's like, well, you know, does Doug usually wake up kind of groggy? I go, well, what do you mean? I go, well, he's still, you know, I try to get him up tonight, this morning, and he's still sleeping. And I'm like, he's still at home sleeping? He goes, yeah. I go, he needs to be at the bodybuilding show 3 hours ago.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I go, okay. I go, no, that's not common. He goes, well, I just got done talking to him, and I had to go see Grammy because Grammy's not doing well because, you know, she's here visiting to spend time with her mom, and her mom wasn't doing well. And I didn't know. I just felt like something's wrong, but I don't think anything really major's wrong, and I feel bad for leaving. I'm like, okay. And luckily I'm in town. You know, usually I'm 20 minutes away, so you're with me. I turn the car around, and you said, and you go, okay, Julie, just let you know. Keep it down a notch.
Mm-hmm.
Take it down a notch.
Because you were, like, totally freaked out.
I was not totally freaked out. But you're like, for my sake, Julie, please.
That's really true.
Just keep it down. I go, okay, everything's going to be fine, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
But I must go now to see that Doug is okay.
Mm-hmm. So we're keeping it cool.
Keeping it cool. I'm trying to keep you in the loop. And mm-hmm. I'm like, and so then.
So Julie runs into his house. I get to his house.
Yes.
And Julie runs in, and I'm like, okay, everything's okay. And you peek your head out of the door, out of the front
yes.
door, and you give me this sign. Ready?
Yes. What is it?
A thumbs down and a thumbs up.
Yes. Thumbs down, thumbs up.
At that moment, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Yes, you did. What did you think it meant?
I meant that it's, I don't know, that it's okay, but situation, snafu.
Yeah, snafu.
And, situation normal, all effed up.
Yeah, and which meant was, my theory was, he's conscious, but I'm calling the ambulance.
That's right. He's laying on the floor.
Yes. I walk in and see a St. Bernard, and I love the St. Bernard. He knows me well. But still, I don't know how the St. Bernard's going to react. He's a big dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go, hi, Bear, come here. And I don't see Doug yet. And I'm like, babe, are you here? I'm coming in. Because I don't know, maybe, you know, I don't know. And he's like, and he goes, Yui? And he's like completely slurring his words. I'm like, okay. And he's on the floor between the kitchen and the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay. I go, hey, babe, how you doing? And at this moment, Deb, his other sister, calls me up. He is a baby of the family of six kids, and there's four girls, three boys. One, two, four boys and three girls. I guess that's it.
Well, that's more than six kids.
I have seven kids. Then there's seven of them.
Yeah.
Okay, my mistake. There's seven of them.
Well, there's not four girls, though, Joe.
There's just three girls.
Yeah.
Three girls and four boys.
Yeah.
And all the girls adore the baby of the family, which is Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
And the oldest boy, eldest woman, him are in business together, and so she totally just takes care of him. And because she doesn't have any kids, you know, and so her focus is on him sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she's calling me up the exact moment I'm talking to Doug, and she's like, I go, Deb, I can't talk right now. Doug's on the floor. He's conscious and he's talking, but he's slurring his words.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, you call 911 right now. And I'm like, and then, okay, I go, I'll call 911. And at the exact moment, Doug's like, no 911, no 911, no 911. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, for heaven's sakes. And I'm just like, okay. And I just said, and I was just talking him down. Now, the end result is he's okay. We can talk about this now.
Right.
He's
okay. That's a good idea, yeah.
You know,
he's home and he's okay.
He's 100% recovered.
Yes,
but it was a terrible weekend.
It was a bad weekend.
Yes. So my first thought was I need to call 911 and I have to get the Saint Bernard out of the house.
Yes. So
and
you bring the Saint Bernard to
as
me.
I'm calling 911. I've got the Saint Bernard in my hand. I throw him in the van, and I realize, and then I go talk to Doug, and then I realize I've got you in the driveway, and I have to go pull you out of the driveway so you're not stuck, but you were stuck anyway between.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and it was just all these things going in my mind and talking to 911. And and so I'm talking to Doug, and I'm just like, he's, I really thought first thing was a stroke because
we
couldn't get up.
We were convinced of that because his right side was bad, and he was slurring his words.
Yes.
And so, I was surprised at how fast 911 showed up. There was, like, within really a minute or two, the ambulance, like, three cop cars.
Yes.
Some other stuff. It was like a parade.
Exactly. Well, and it was so funny because he doesn't remember anything that went down during this time.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is selective memory. He doesn't choose to remember what went down during this time because he was just not a happy camper towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not happy that I called 911.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was so sad. I felt bad for him because, you know, he was being, he's on the floor. I'm not able to help him. And he's being very angry and irate and slurring his words. And I'm like, honey, just calm down. I think you might have a little stroke. He's like, what? I have a stroke? Out of my face. And I'm like, well, really, your face looks fine, but you can't move your leg and you're slurring your words real bad. But I think just a little one, you know, but it just happens. We got to take care of this because, you know, and I'm on 911 and he's really angry. And then the operator is like, I'm calling the police, too, because he just seems very angry.
Yeah, he's agitated.
And I'm like, he's okay. This is not necessary.
The police did come, though.
They did.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm sure they're like, why am I here? There's a guy, you know. And and the weird part is we got him to the emergency room, and he couldn't stay awake. That was the key thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every test came back negative.
Every test. And then they took him that same night to a bigger hospital to do even more tests because they could not find anything.
And they couldn't find any reason why the doctor at the emergency room, he just couldn't figure out why he couldn't stay awake. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would ask a question, he'd be up, slur his words, and then he goes, I'm really tired, and just fell right back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And this went on for hours upon hours, mm-hmm. that he couldn't stay up. Then they took him to a bigger hospital, and same thing, all night long he slept. And they didn't know what went wrong. And he started to get better. Like, he didn't know what year it was initially, but he knew the president. He didn't know the month it was, but knew a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was going on, it was getting back into normal, mm-hmm. and his slurring was improving. He slurred a little bit no matter what, but it was really
But slowly but surely, he just improved. And so by Monday night, they decided to release him because they had this whole battery of tests.
And they couldn't figure out
one thing. Everything
was
just clean.
Yeah.
Couldn't figure it out.
And so this made him completely angry that he's spending money and they don't know what's going on. And then finally, he comes home and he realizes.
Right. So then the detective work begins,
right.
Which is a pharmacist.
Right.
And so they decide, we are going to find out what happened.
Yes.
And you tell what happened.
Well, what happened was what we think, and I had mentioned this before to them, but we have St. Bernard, who has anxiety issues, and he takes anti-anxiety medication that look very similar to ibuprofen. And he does take ibuprofen consistently. You know, in the middle of the night, it wouldn't be unlikely for him to take 4 ibuprofens. And so we thought that maybe he took 4.
Because they were next to each other.
Next to each other. And it would be not, I mean, he could have messed that up and taken 4 of these anti-anxiety medications.
For the dog.
That were for the dogs, yeah. For him. And that could have made him exceptionally sleepy, lethargic, couldn't speak. And maybe he was so, maybe he fell hard on his leg, and that's why his leg wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And his leg is still a little off. I mean, he still has a hard time walking up steps.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's better now, but
yesterday was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better today, but yesterday was still a little bit mm-hmm. rough. And so he's getting there. But today it was kind of funny because in the hospital his blood pressure was really high. And as soon as he came up with this idea that he somehow switched drugs, accidentally, and had this massive reaction to taking 4 of the anti-anxiety medications.
Mm-hmm. For a big dog.
For a big dog.
Yeah, so.
He felt calmer, like, mm-hmm. okay, because they were thinking it was a seizure. You know, that was mm-hmm. their end result. It was a seizure, and you may never have it again. Most likely you won't. And this sometimes just happens to people. We don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of freaky that we could just all have a seizure.
Well, they kind of accused him of being a drinker.
They did.
And
they kept asking,
are you positive he doesn't drink? Because he really doesn't. I've never seen him drink.
He doesn't drink at all. He hates the taste of liquor.
Yeah. I mean, all the years. And they kept saying, no, he's probably a closet drinker, right? No.
No, I go, and I said to the doctor, I need to tell you that I've been with him for a very long time, 15 years, and he just doesn't drink. That's not his thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just not his thing.
Right.
He doesn't like a taste of it, doesn't need it, it's not his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Hotter donuts, by the way, maybe that.
What'd you say?
Hotter donuts.
Yes, hotter donuts for sure. Ding-dongs and hoes, yes, he loves the sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Hershey with almonds, for sure. And so so today, you know, everything's back to normal, and we're just living with the residue of this, not knowing, and for 2-3 days, just being really worried about him, you know, just really worried. And today, his sister kind of shamed him a little bit into taking his blood pressure in front of us all. Now, also, he left with 2 prescriptions, you know, a blood pressure medicine and I think something to lower his heart rate as well,
mm-hmm.
because his heart rate was pretty elevated in the hospital, especially in the last day when he's like, I just need to get home. I don't feel bad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is just now I'm just starting to get really crabby and agitated. I need to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was kind of shaming him, like, hey, you know, let's take your blood pressure. Like, hey, are you taking your medicine? And he's like, well, I don't take it regularly. She goes, well, what do you mean you don't take it regularly today? Well, did you take your medicine a day? And she's a pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of, and she's very subdued and quiet. So she's not even being that forceful. She's like, so did you take it today? You know, did you take it today? No, I didn't. And she's like, he's like, well, maybe. I really don't know. I'm not going to take it. I'm not, I don't believe in drugs. And he's just starting to be a little bit like, hey, get off my back about mm-hmm. this. But she kept shaming him, like kept pushing him.
Mm-hmm.
And
pushing.
And then finally he did. And she said, you know, I'm good. You know, you have to take your medicine every day. You got to lower your blood pressure. Got to lower your pulse rate. Got to do this. Come on, come on, come on. And then finally he just exploded. He was like, I can't take it anymore. I don't care if I die. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And then I was like,
Well, that was sort of her shaming him, and then he decided to take it, and you read it, and you went, oh, that's a little high.
And yeah,
you kind of got him a little zinger, too.
Oh, right? And he got mad at me, and he got really irate. I'm like, dude, you know, we all spent time in the hospital taking care of you, okay?
Yeah, I mean, you were gone that whole weekend.
I know, and like you said, the weekend that we'll never get back.
And you know, I vowed that I would never say those words. Because when I hear other people say him, I go, oh, geez, really? You're so important.
Yeah.
That's time. But then I said
it. You just said it to me, and I just started laughing.
I know.
You're right. The word that you hate, some people say that.
I do hate that.
And you're like, really? How? Like you said, what would you have been doing that was so important?
You are such a...
Going to Costco? Oh,
yeah.
What? Really?
Are you the Pope or whatever? Are you the president?
I will never get this. I'm back.
And I
hey,
said that.
Newsflash. Our soul is eternal. So you will get your soul. You get this time back.
That's right. In the fullness of time, you are getting it back.
You are getting back. Yes.
Oh, we wax philosophic now.
And so anyway, then I started getting shamed about, hey, Julie, now you take your blood pressure. And I'm like, why? Now I started feeling pressure. And I, in my mind, I'm like, well, don't be that way. Just take it. And I said, listen, guys, I know my pressure is okay because it has to be. Because you don't get a CDL license. You have to have a medical card mm-hmm. to be a semi-driver.
Mm-hmm.
Since I helped Dad out, I had to have an active medical card. And you can't have high blood pressure to have it. And they're like, oh, really? I go, yeah. I go, you can't have it. It's just they don't allow you. And, like, can you be on medication? Yeah, you can be on medication as long as it's taken care of. And then Doug's like, well, I mean, I can't be a truck driver. I'm like, is that part? I go, listen, Douglas, I know that you've talked to me 1,000 times about being a truck driver, mm-hmm. but you've got to take steps towards it.
That's right. And so, therefore, that's our happy shame giving story.
Yeah, exactly. One of many. I know. And so, it's weird. And I think to myself, have I ever shamed anybody in doing something?
Mm-hmm.
I hope not, because I really don't care enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, I know that sounds cruel.
No, I think you're so libertarian.
That's exactly
that
right.
It's like, you know, whatever.
It's like, it's your life.
Yeah.
We were born in America, and if you weren't born here and you came here on a visa, guess what? We're free here.
That's right.
You don't have to do what you, if someone wants to take your blood pressure and it's not for a job, you don't have to have it done.
That's right.
It doesn't matter to me. You know, if you don't want to take your prescription drug, you know, wish you would, but guess what? You're free here.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do it.
That's right.
Do whatever you need to do in life to be happy.
And that's why we have to have every Thanksgiving dressing.
Right.
Mashed potatoes and gravy.
That's right. That's why your Thanksgiving menu is shamed.
Green bean casserole.
Like, shamed into submission.
I know. That menu, it's hard and fast. You can't deviate from that.
Oh, so are we talking about this now? Because I think this is funny.
We could talk about that, or we could talk about Elliot.
I have one more shaming story about Elliot.
Yes.
Because I really think that we need to, I think we need to be calmer and detached from things.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because we're all on Facebook now, everybody knows so much about everybody else. When we get together,
mm-hmm.
there's no more of this idle chit-chat. It's all like in for the blood, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, okay. Here's what I really want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about how your house works. Don't care. I know
mm-hmm.
I see your Facebook page. Now I want to know, are you taking your medication? I'm going to shame you. I'm going to shame you big time. Are you working out enough? Are you like, you know, getting your heart rate up fast enough to make it worth something? And
mm-hmm.
It's
really,
funny.
Do we really care about Facebook? I guess we do.
Yes, we do, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, but anyway. So So anyway, we were shamed. I was shamed again. Dad was actually shamed a little bit.
It was, yeah, it was Normano. And it happens regularly where we go to the dog park.
Yes, because everybody there has rescue dogs. And
yes.
It's a code of honor.
Yeah. And it really, and see, our dog, he's a designer dog. He looks like a little Rocky horse.
Yes.
He's Elliot. He's cute.
He's a terrier. He's a Wheaton Terrier.
Yeah, and Dad talks to everybody, and they're like, ah. Oh,
our dog's a rescue dog. Yeah,
my dog's a rescue dog. And then, so Dad was talking to this one guy, and the guy goes, oh, Wheaton Terrier. He goes, I had a rescued Wheaton Terrier one time.
He's like, really?
A rescued? Why would you? How does that happen?
Yes, exactly.
But you go ahead and tell.
Well, I think it's funny, too, because we tried for a brief moment to get a rescued Wheaton Terrier.
Right.
And the criteria was so hard to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you had to have a fenced-in yard, which we do not.
You couldn't work out of the home. You couldn't work outside the home.
Yeah, somebody had to be home all the time.
Yeah.
And that's fine with us, but it was sort of like, I kind of felt like, hey, this is America. You know?
America.
And I'm free
America.
Here, and if I want to get a rescue, I felt like,
ahead,
if you want to hold your rescue dog from me, I will go and buy a dog. You know? That's the criteria.
Yeah. And I mean, we're tired of being dog shamed because we don't have a rescue dog.
Exactly. So anyway, Dad was talking to this gentleman who had a Wheaton Terrier rescue dog.
But not currently.
No.
No.
And he kept saying, he goes, the worst thing about this dog, he had some issues, is that he never, I would take him for a long walk and he wouldn't pee or go to the bathroom and outside. But as soon as I came in the house, he would pee and poo. And Dad's like,
Dad does it double take. Say what?
Say what? What'd you say? Because, yeah, it was nonstop. We couldn't figure out why he was doing this. And finally, we had to go to a pet psychic or a pet communicator, and she was able to help us resolve this problem. Oh, my gosh.
And Norm goes, I got something to tell you.
I got something to tell you.
Or whatever your name is.
Yeah, Mr. goes,
Elliot is a peas and poos in the house.
Now, he's mostly pie trained.
But here's the deal, though. Do you remember when we boarded him at the vet's?
Yes.
And, you know, he gets his little report card and how he did, and he had bad marks for his little doggy business.
Yes.
Know? And she said, I would take him out for 35 minutes, and he wouldn't pee or poo. But he comes in, as soon as he hits the door, boom, pees and poos.
And feels no shame about it.
And feels no shame about it.
Yes.
Finally, I'm back in the house.
We feel much shame.
Yes. But that is exactly Elliot's M.O.
And now with the first snow flood, it's even worse today. I mean, he's just like, I don't feel like peeing or pooping outside.
Oh, yeah. He likes the snow, but he doesn't want to pee or poop.
No, he's too distracted by it. It's like, this is fun.
Yes.
He's a year old now, but this is... And I felt shamed at the hospital because, going back to Doug, because his brother and sister-in-law got a bigger designer dog than we did. Mm-hmm. He got a little Japanese dog.
Like a Kido or something
like that, exactly. And I go, oh, how's his potty training going? Oh, he's only went to the bathroom one time in the house since we've got him, and he was downstairs in the basement.
Mm.
And I said to myself, first of all, you probably don't know.
Yeah.
Second of all, I felt really ashamed. I said, well, she goes, well, because how's yours? How's your dog doing?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, well, we're struggling.
Yeah. I got checked my messages on the phone, hello, Mrs. Peters. Yes. This is Mrs. So-and-so, and my husband wanted me to give you the name of the lady who's the pet communicator, and she did such a wonderful job for our rescue Wheaton Terrier, and she'll check in on his energy, and then she'll do some kind of a little, I don't know, saging him or something, and for $100, you too can have Elliot, you know.
Communicated with.
Yeah. And it was sort of sweet, you know.
It was sweet.
But, you know, see, here's the thing. We have shame about it because I have this vision of us having, like, a Christmas party or something. And Elliot Elliot has no shame about this.
No.
He's like, hey, look at me, and then takes a big whiz.
Yeah, like, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, like he wants to be seen.
Yeah.
Like, although I have to say, he comes into our room, and he doesn't leave the bedroom, but he aims his wiener into the
bathroom,
into the ensuite. Yes,
ensuite.
And so
onto the ensuite.
Yes, and so he does the he hits the carpeting,
the rug. Thank goodness.
Yeah. But no, yeah. Thank you for saying that. You're like, who has carpeting in the bathroom?
You don't have carpeting in the bathroom?
That's so gross.
Well, no, I'm not saying that.
Are
but
you shaming me? No,
yeah.
You're right. It's the rugs.
Yeah. Thank God we had to pick the rug up or the carpeting up. And we've talked about getting new carpeting. I said, how can we possibly do
not
this?
Not at this point.
We have to break him of
yes.
this.
Yes.
And so we are being shamed by other people because they all have just these wonderful ways to break him of this habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well,
everybody's got a story to tell.
Yes,
to do
because
it.
First of all, they go, oh, really?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And that's where the shame comes
in. You're bad pet parent.
Yeah, bad, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. And like, well, here's what you should do. Every half hour, take him out no matter what, and
yes.
then put him in his crate the rest of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, that's fine. We'll do that. We'll try that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, really, you think we haven't done that?
Right.
You know?
Right.
He's just an odd bird.
Happy Shamesgiving.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's the thing. We don't really want anybody to come over for Thanksgiving because you don't want anybody to say, hey, why's your dog taking a poo in the corner?
Oh, oops, you forgot a spot here.
Yeah. Well, and I was watching the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
On someone, I don't know where, maybe at the hospital, I don't know, but one of the youngest girl, Kylie, or
mm-hmm.
I don't know her name, she has a dog named Norman. And they're all, like, talking about clothes in their closet, and
mm-hmm.
they go, I think I smell poo. And they go, oh, Norman took a poop in the closet. And she goes, bad Norman. And all I can think of is dad.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know. And see, the thing is, too, we go, bad Elliot? No, Elliot. He just looks around like, what?
Yeah, what are you saying?
I'm peeing where I'm supposed to pee in the bathroom.
Yeah,
that's where it goes.
He hasn't, that's right. He just...
Come on,
and even with Charlie Ray and Molly Marie,
mm-hmm.
if they had an accident... You know, you'd go, oh, Dupas is outside. And they'd kind of go like, oh, sorry.
They had that shame look.
They had that look like, damn,
oh, that's
I messed up.
Yeah, that was messed up. I'm sorry.
No, Elliot's just like, whatever.
Whatever. What do you mean?
Whatever. You
I
pick it
try.
Up, right?
Yeah.
I see you get the toilet paper.
If I go in here in the house, you guys right away clean up after me. This is awesome. I love life. I love my family. This is terribly wonderful. We're a great wolf pack together.
That's right.
And I go, let's continue on this path together, guys, the next 14 years. Or however, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Let's break this habit soon. Yeah. 14 years.
Yes, please. Let's do it soon.
Yes, exactly.
So do we have any more shame stories?
Well, I mean, I think what you were saying before about shamesgiving, you know, the shamesgiving about this idea that We really are being forced into having these huge spreads for Thanksgiving, but they're the exact same foods.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have the staples,
mm-hmm.
which are what, girlfriend? What are our staples?
Well, I mean, they are the etiquette, the Thanksgiving etiquette that you must have.
Right.
And if you don't, you're not really truly thankful.
No.
You've got to be eating the green bean casserole with the little fried onion steaks
yeah.
on it.
Yeah, and honestly, though, I would be unhappy if it wasn't there.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. Okay, so get a green
bean
casserole.
Like what if somebody said, oh, I'm making some great homemade lasagna. And
like, I can have it any time of the year.
Yeah.
Don't you understand? It's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's Shamesgiving, people. Shamesgiving.
Mm-hmm.
The time when you get together with your family members, they shame you for not achieving what you're supposed to be achieving and not
right.
making what you're supposed to be making and... not having the right spread.
That's right.
You know, so yes. So you got your Thanksgiving, your green bean casserole with
mm-hmm.
the onion rings on top,
mm-hmm.
a must.
And obviously yams with marshmallows.
And if it's not, doesn't have marshmallows, it's not good enough?
Oh, no. No. And maybe even some, like, pecans on it or something.
Mm. Oh, well, yeah. Okay.
And then the dressing.
For
which
sure.
I love.
Exactly.
Actually, I'm looking at it. Now I'm looking forward to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Potatoes and gravy. And some kind of cranberry, like I don't know, cranberry.
Yeah, and I personally, but I personally just like the can.
I do too.
I think can's the best without the cranberries in it. Just the jello,
just
jelly.
Just kind of that, that just kind of slimy.
It just says, I like the slime. Yes. I don't tell you.
Yes.
And so that's really the staples and rolls.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And turkey or ham. I mean, we never really grew up with a lot of turkey.
No.
So I'm okay with ham.
Right.
But turkey or ham is
me
good
too.
Okay. And then that's it. And pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have those, then really it's not even Thanksgiving.
Yeah. What? Who are you? Are you an American?
Exactly. And yet we're an American, and we should be able to make it whatever we want to make it.
I know.
And like Gregory, my brother, he's going to Disney World for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, they're going to have a. He said they're going to have this huge Disney World spread.
I bet. And I just read that the best time to go to Disney World is the day after Thanksgiving.
Is it really?
It's like there's like nobody ever there. So except for the people who are staying there.
Wow, that's awesome.
To celebrate Thanksgiving and go, we are so thankful for this bounty, Lord.
I wonder
thank
if
you.
The turkey has like little Disney ears, little.
Yeah, that would be.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like Disney food.
I'm like turkey ears. Disney, I'm like, oh yeah,
little mouse ears. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Yeah, but the thing is, you can't really. You don't want your turkey talking to you beforehand.
No.
So you don't want to have people, you know, not to break the fourth wall or whatever, or third wall, whatever that wall is.
Whatever wall.
You don't want to like see, you know, Mr. Turkey out there talking like gobble gobble gobble. Hi kids, how you doing? Ready for Thanksgiving? Yeah, you're going to have a little bit of turkey? You don't really want that, do you?
No.
I wouldn't.
Mm-mm.
And so I don't want my... Oh, and wouldn't it be sad if, like, if we were in a weird culture and... I shouldn't say weird, just different culture, and we ate, like, mice for Thanksgiving? And you went to Mickey Mouse and like,
or
oh,
what
no.
if what if in Disney World on Thanksgiving, like Cinderella and Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse, they dress up as pilgrims.
Oh, that's hysterical.
Just saying.
Now, I'm just remembering this now. Doesn't Disney World have that huge parade, though? Or the day of Thanksgiving?
Oh, I think they do.
Macy's Day Parade?
That's right. I think they do.
Don't they have one, too? Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not that uncommon to go to Disney World for Thanksgiving.
I would think it wouldn't be.
No, so...
But I wasn't gonna say...
Yeah. So Doug's having a big spread at his mama's house.
Oh, are they?
Yep.
Everybody's coming in. And
for sure. And we're going to have a small spread.
Yeah.
You said I want the exact same stuff for Thanksgiving, but I don't want to have leftovers.
Right.
And
I don't want any leftovers. I don't want to have to think about it the next day. I want it to be done and over with.
Done and over with. I want to enjoy my food.
And it's just going to be me, you, and Normano.
Yes.
And Elliot. He'll be there watching.
Yes, and crying.
Waiting for, like,
can I have any scraps? Please, scraps, something.
May I have a scrap, sir?
Exactly. So, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Did you see Saturday Night Live last night?
You told me about it.
I thought this was hysterical because here it was. It was a Thanksgiving Day theme, and couples were there, and like a family and different generations, and they were, some of them were very conservative and talking about, you know, we can't let the refugees in, you know, and oh, and they're all Muslims are terrorists. And then the younger couple are like, no they're not, what's going on? And so all these political views are coming up and people are starting to fight, and the youngest girl, she's like 10 11, stands up and goes to the record player. Excuse me, showing my age. The disc player, MP3 player, whatever, attached to a speaker, and plays Adele's new song, Hello, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody just stops fighting and starts singing the song and just getting really, really so emotional and dramatic. And I laughed so hard because that's so true.
Yes.
That when this one song comes on from Adele, I mean, it's so slow and depressing,
mm-hmm.
but you just start singing it, you know?
Right.
I didn't mean to hurt you, you know? And you're
hello.
Like, oh, hello.
And everybody stops. There's no more political talk.
No, you're just singing a song. Mm-hmm. And then the song would end because someone would come into the room or whatever, mm-hmm. and they start fighting again. Mm-hmm. And then the little girl would play the song again, and they would mm-hmm. stop and start singing it again.
But isn't that true, though? You win those, you know... I don't know how you grow up to, and you want those uncomfortable moments with your family just to go away. You're like, please shut up. There's no need. I don't need to know your opinion on this.
Right.
Please stop. You know, or please don't drink anymore, and then shut up. You know.
Yes.
Because it is like when you're kind of the sane one, you just want to like, can we just have dinner?
Yes.
Can we just talk about the weather? Do we have to go to those places that like where everybody has to give their 2 cents?
Well, see, for me, I don't mind that stuff because I just think it's hysterical.
Yeah, you do. You're really true.
I just think it's all hysterical. And I want to know your opinion. And guess what? I may know your opinion, but I will not share mine with you because I don't want to have conflict.
That's right.
You know, like, oh, you think that way? Ah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? You live in America.
Hey, Jules, where do you live? Do you live in America? Really?
I live in a place where we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving
right.
this Thursday.
You're going to have we're going to paint our turkey red, white, and blue.
Exactly. I have no shame for that, man. No
but
shame.
Tell me the truth. How do you feel about those refugees coming to America from Syria?
Are you asking my honest opinion?
Yeah.
I have no problem with it whatsoever.
Yeah. I don't either.
You know, I saw this one recently. I don't know
but
if
that's
I
because
this.
Probably the odds are, you know, 99% that no one will land in Dixon.
That's not true.
No?
Well, our government...
I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's not a real, real, real hard issue for me.
Right.
Because I just don't think I'm ever going to have to deal with it.
Right.
That's my real opinion.
Yeah, and I don't know about that, because here's how it works. I saw this one recently, this one documentary on immigration, and
mm-hmm.
they went to every 50 states to celebrate with people who are becoming, you know, naturalized citizens. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome, you know, or getting their citizenship. And they interview people, and they were interviewing these 5 men who were in Nebraska, and they were all Iraqis.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, how did you guys all get here?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, we were in a camp, a refugee camp, and, you know, different states would take different many people. And, you know, Nebraska would take us 5. And they're like, okay, we'll go to Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was they were interviewing Madeleine Albright. And I loved what she said. She said after World War II, I believe it was World War II, they were leaving Germany or during that, and they went to England to escape. And England's like, hey, thank you, you know, great, I'm glad you're here, you know, her and her family. And she was younger, of course, young child. But they said, you know, hey, we'll clothe you, we'll feed you, we'll give you a place to live, and so forth, and then we'll get you a job. And then she said that was it. And said when we went to America, they said, great, thank you, you know, welcome to America. You know, we're going to help you get going.
We're going to clothe you. We're going to feed
you.
Get
you a job. Get you a place to stay. And then when will you become an American citizen? When will you do it?
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted a commitment. And I thought, that's who we are.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, you know, the rest of the stuff we can figure out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about vetting. I mean, I know that this is a long process, and it's pretty stringent. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I talked about that one NPR, This American Life story about this man who was living in
Africa. Yeah.
Yes, and he was a great, you know, wonderful man, you know, younger person, probably in his early 20s, and he had won the lottery to come to America, but it took him over a year to come, and at the end, one of his teachers didn't sign the paperwork right,
mm-hmm.
and they refused him,
mm-hmm.
and only because this one reporter had been following him the whole time, I think he came over, because you know, this reporter was able to say, "Hey, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to influence you, but just tell me the process of
right,
this."
Right.
And the next morning, he got an email saying, "Okay, you got all your stuff in now. You know, you can go."
Yeah.
And it was interesting because I felt so much pride in our country that we have a system like this.
Yes. Yes.
And that people are excited about the lottery, but this man, you know, he was an interesting student and. He had someone who had been helping him all along the way in America, like just a normal person
mm-hmm.
who had been, you know, giving him $10 here, $20 here, and to even do the process of the lottery,
mm-hmm.
I think cost like $350 for the application.
Mm-hmm.
you know, where do you have that? She was able to give him the money, you
right,
know?
Right.
And she lived in Maine, I believe, and he ended up living in Maine with her for
mm-hmm,
a while
mm-hmm.
in the attic, or, you know, and got a job installation. And it was just sweet,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not so fearful of the refugees.
Right.
We can embrace them, and the more we embrace them, the more they want to start speaking our language and becoming more of an American.
Well, I totally feel the same way you do.
And I also know this. There are a lot of crazy people that have been born here that, you know, so who do not like America that much.
Right,
and
right.
I mean, Timothy McVeigh, you know, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma bombing. I
mm-hmm.
mean, it's just, I don't know. I just don't think it has to be.
No, right.
You know, mm-hmm. and so that's how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm okay with saying, hey, while you're here and, you know, the first 5 years, we want to know more about where you're at. You know, we want to be notified if you move.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It has to be what it has to be. But
right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. So I hope it all works out.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel the same way, or how do you feel?
I do.
Yeah,
I think it. We need to give us. You're tired. You're hungry.
Yes,
that's how we built this country, on rock and roll.
Exactly. Start loving it.
That's right.
So, you know, I wanted to share this one article that I read over the week, and it's not even really an article. It's just a step, because I think right now too we're all talking about how people aren't getting enough sleep. You know, we're all plugged in too long and working too hard. And
mm-hmm.
How do you feel that you sleep? Do you feel you sleep pretty well?
Well, I noticed that I pretty much have to get up and pee after 4 hours, every 4 hours, even if I'm not drinking something.
Oh, okay.
So I guess you would call it sleeptus interruptus.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you said I have to get up every 4 hours to go to the bathroom. So I'm glad you qualified that.
That's right, because I pee every 4 hours whether I get up or not.
Yeah.
old joke.
Exactly. I love that old joke, though. The man guy. Well, how do you wake up in the morning? Well, you know, I'm pretty. I go to the bathroom at 5 in the morning. Take a poo at 6. I go get up at 7. I thought I felt pretty good.
Oh my God!
I know.
So tell us about this.
Okay. So this is just my
suggestion. I was thinking about Gregory because he gets. I think he has this app, and I think he was telling me that his app was telling him he gets like about 4 hours of
real sleep.
I don't know. I think it's interrupted sleep.
Oh, really? So he doesn't even get it.
No.
Real sleep anymore.
No, but then he's got, you know, little kids and gets up early to go to work. And
yeah, I tell him all the time, this time will pass.
Mm-hmm.
This time will pass. It'll all be better. I mean, he loves his life now, but sleep is not part of the equation.
No.
On some nights.
No.
And I don't know how they do it, but they do go on less sleep. And I know that for me, too. I don't know how I do it sometimes.
I don't know how you do it.
There are weeks that I miss a couple days.
Right.
You know, or I'm working all night through, and then I'm sleeping in the daytime, and then mm-hmm. I'm off and so forth.
Crazy.
It's very crazy.
It's crazy,
and
Nikki.
It's the one thing they say to don't do. They said try to stick to a schedule. And I'm thinking, who does that now?
Right.
Like, great.
A lot of
wife.
People do, though.
I think they do. It's
yeah.
a priority.
Right.
And I think you... We'll talk about this next week, this idea that there are things sometimes you have to give up, even if they're painful,
mm-hmm.
to have a better life.
Right.
Or they're scary.
Yes.
And I know, like, with Gregory and his wife, like, his wife has a rotating schedule. Sometimes she works nights, sometimes she works days, sometimes she works weekends.
Mm-hmm.
It is never the same. And
there you go.
There you go.
That's no schedule.
That's no schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it suffers. I think she suffers because of it, as sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I know Gregory with his schedule, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's up at 2 in the morning sometimes, sometimes up at 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And he just can't get into a rhythm.
Mm-hmm. So they're saying, though, the first thing you need to do is get a schedule.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think right now, who do I know that has a schedule?
Right.
in my immediate family. And
if they're retired, maybe they could do.
Yeah, I really don't know.
Yeah.
And they said that sleeping in late in the weekends or staying up late in the weekends is like putting your body into like a jet lag situation.
Wow.
It's that much damage.
Right.
And they said, you know, a little bit here and there, but sticking with an hour either way is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But more than an hour really messes you up, and it doesn't give you that good night's sleep that you need.
Right.
So that's something to be aware of. They, one suggestion they had, which I liked, they said, set your alarm for when you should be in bed. And then if you're not in bed by then, get going.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
Now we got to get moved forward because I only got a couple more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
mm-hmm.
So the next thing they say is, you know, get up with the light. Be active in the daylight.
Mm-hmm.
Go out. Enjoy some fresh air because the light activates the melatonin.
Oh, for sure.
It starts getting you ready for bed.
Yeah. And that's like I talked about last week, that seasonal affective disorder.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is specifically related to light and the amount of light you receive or don't receive.
Exactly. They said also people who sleep well, they sleep, they exercise regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And what they mean by this, too, they said if you can have a workout 4 to 6 hours before bedtime, that's like the best time to get the best night's sleep.
That's like the being in the zone right there.
Right
there.
4 to 6 hours before bedtime.
I can tell you what helped my sleep last night.
Hmm.
Watching the movie Trainwreck.
Was it a train wreck?
Yeah.
It was a snooze wreck.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
And I love Amy Schumer.
Oh, I do, too.
But, whoa. It was a two-hour movie that she could have pulled it off quite nicely, Mr. Judd Apatow, if it was 90 minutes.
Right.
We could have done that. And well, I would have given it a B+.
Perhaps. I think that's how most movies are, that if they're not good, it's because they're just too long.
Yeah, it went down to a C- for me.
They do not know how to edit.
Yeah.
And that's a big no-no in the fashion industry when you watch what's it called, Project Runway.
Yes.
They're like, you need to edit this.
You need to edit that.
You got too much stuff going on. You need to edit this.
Yeah, and see, this is just like, you know, it's a director's jerk-off or a writer's jerk-off.
That's what I feel.
You've got a
it's probably both.
Movie and we're like, oh, it's a cute movie. I kind of liked it. But then you went and did that.
Yeah. Dude, literally, edit, make it tight.
Because
then you go, it would have been a B movie if it was an hour and a half long.
Yeah, because you and I both have this, theory or whatever. We do not, on a Saturday night, want to be like, we don't want to watch something creepy.
No.
We want to be uplifted.
Yes.
And we want it to be 90 minutes or less.
Right, and I want to leave feeling good.
I want to leave happy. Exactly.
Exactly. I agree. And I don't need directors jerk off, as we like to say.
Right.
Like, oh, more is better. No, more is not better.
No.
If it's a 2.5-hour movie, I better be on the edge of my seat the entire time.
Absolutely.
And I remember watching The Hobbit. This is the first movie I ever really felt sad about or fell asleep in. And The Hobbit, I loved Lord of the Rings movies. But when I first saw The Hobbit, I couldn't stay awake through it.
It was
just visual candy. But there was no story plot. I'm is going on for 2 hours? This is horrible.
Yeah. So that's my recommendation, honey, is Trainwreck if you want to get some sleep.
Well, you know what? It's almost time for us to go. So I want to
say,
hey, everybody, thank you for just letting us vent and talk tonight and have some fun.
Yeah.
And
you know, what about the Clutterfly Effect? Tell them to buy it.
Go to Amazon.com. Go to the clutterflyeffect.com is there too, but you can get the book at Amazon. It's called The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life. And check us out at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
That's right. I can get prosperity postcards for free.
For sure.
Go to
Emma,
prosperity
how was the show? How was the show tonight?
It was great.